This is Ida May and Radio Neighborin. I've got Alice Wallace. Alice, welcome back.
Welcome back
to Radio Neighborin. I'm so happy to see you.
Well, I am happy to be here.
You've been a busy girl.
I have. It's been a great year so far. My new album came out in January, and it's just kind of been this whirlwind, and we've been having a great time. And I'm sorry it's taken me so long to come in and say hi to you.
Well, my gosh, you're all over the country and then some.
Yeah.
I follow you. I also follow your wardrobe. Because, I mean, look at the cowgirl shirt you have on today. I can tell you have so much fun shopping for what you're going to wear on stage, including your gorgeous hat.
There you go. It's part of the thing, you know? I do enjoy it. And I've had a lot of people helping me with this new album. My new album came out on a label called Rebel Road Records that's run by these three women who just are such, you know, such great influences, and they have great ideas. And so it's really been kind of a team effort here recently on just the new songs and just everything. The photos, the look of everything has been really, you know, just, you know, drilled down a little bit more than I had in the past. So
you're the first record off of Rebel Road, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. I think their story is really neat. I've been talking to KP about maybe coming in to my show and telling us all about it. It's kind of a cool deal. Promoting, you know, country in California, and especially promoting women as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, yeah, KP Hawthorne was the producer on this album. She produced my last album along with a gentleman named Steve Burns. So I'd already been working with KP, and she was starting this Rebel Road Records with these two other women, and so it just kind of fell into place that I was working on this record, and they're like, "Let's put your record out. Let's make it the first Rebel Road Records." Album and yeah, to work with three strong women is a real treat to get to do.
And they're dedicated to promoting country music for women in California. I mean, yay! Mm-hmm.
No, absolutely.
How wonderful! How absolutely wonderful for everybody.
Yeah. So I feel very lucky to have a great team. So yeah, it's been a really wonderful year. A lot of good things happening. The response to this album has been wonderful. Last week, our latest single got into Rolling Stone Country as one of the top 10 country and Americana songs to hear now, like right next to Blake Shelton, which was pretty exciting.
I read that, and when I read if Linda Ronstadt and Emmylou Harris had a baby, it'd be Alice Wallace. I tell you, I teared up. I got goosebumps. I feel like I'm your aunt. I do.
Yeah.
Just a long-lost aunt that hovers over you and everything you do. And it's so wonderful. Because I remember when you first came in here, Alice, and you were going to quit your job. You were taking off your parents' approval. And I didn't know they were so musical.
Mm-hmm.
And that was at the beginning of your career. I think you'd cut a CD, though, right, when you came in here, or maybe not even?
It was probably right around the time that I had cut my first CD, because I released that in 2011, right? I think that's right. Yeah, my very first one that was just self-released, recorded it in Long Beach, great studio, but it was really my first real experience recording and starting to plan tours and trying to, you know, figure out how to piece this together. So now it's been quite a journey, and it's really... It feels great to put out this new album that is just, I feel like it sounds better than I could have ever imagined my songs could sound. And it's been a really great experience.
It's gorgeous.
Thank
Every
you.
Song is gorgeous. And also, everybody, she's going to be at the Coach House tomorrow night.
I am opening for Albert Lee, the great Albert Lee, you know, who's played on a lot of Emmylou tracks. He played with the Everly Brothers. He's got a long list of great credits to his name, and he's a Grammy-winning guitarist. So we're going to be opening for him at the Coach House tomorrow, and I do still have tickets available if people want to contact me via email or social media or anything like that. So,
well, John and I have our tickets. You know, we got in there and got them early.
Absolutely.
So we have good seats to see you, and we're just excited. So you want to start with a live song?
Sure. Actually, why don't I play you the song that was just featured in Rolling Stone Country, which is the newest single from the album, and it's also the title track. And it's a song called The Blue, and I wrote this song a couple years ago on a New Year's Eve, and I was you know, New Year's Eve is a great time to just sit and contemplate, you know, the past and the future and everything in between. And I was just sitting there thinking about how, you know, it had been, you know, 5 years or something since I had quit my job, and just kind of the ups and downs, but how I just still felt like it was just so important for me to go after this dream. It took me a long time to get up the courage to do it, and now I'm just like, I can't look back. I just have to keep moving forward, sailing off into the blue and whatever awaits me there. So,
and the blue really represents that feeling. It does. And yeah. I salute your courage.
Thank you.
All right, folks. This is Alice Wallace right here on KX93.5 Radio Neighboring with Ida May and John Ford. Here we go, Alice.
Sail away into the blue. It's out there waiting, could be waiting for you. You're only scared of the things that you can see. Most beautiful things you only see in your dreams. It's all a mystery, an untold story, a blank page waiting for a line, a metronome just marking time, and I stand right at the edge where you go.
So fun. A little radio concert for three or four. Alice, that is beautiful. And I've listened to and read about this song that there's exquisite harmonies in there that I guess you call blood harmonies because they're kinfolk singing with you on the album.
Yeah, it was actually really a treat because my brother lives in Chicago. He happened to be in town when I was in the studio, and
actually, it was sort of bad timing because he was in the studio to visit with family, but I like, or he was in town to visit the family, and I was sort of trapped in the studio because we had, you know, the time when you're in there, you kind of just got to get it all done. So it was hard for me to actually go hang out with them. So they came to visit me at the studio on the day that we were recording The Blue, and we were recording those the big, you know, just the ahs at the end. And I was like, man, we need a lot of harmonies. We need some guys in there. We need some. And I was like, wait, my family's in the studio and they can sing. And so we ended up just getting them in there. And my mom and dad and brother all sang some harmonies there at the end, which is just every time I could hear their voices. Like there's a bunch of layers going on, but I can make out each of their voices pretty well. And it's always just, it makes the song mean even more to me. So,
well, it meant more to me too. And I kept listening to it over and over again last night so I could hear when your family came in. It was at the end, and it was just gorgeous.
Yeah.
You are a troubadour. You're a true, I mean, I used to call it Texas troubadours. What a proud tradition.
Yeah.
In music.
Yeah. I mean, I do have so much support from my family, which has made all of this possible, really. So, yeah, so having them not only backing me up in my career and my life, but also in my songs is quite a treat to be able to do that.
Yeah. So. Full package. It really is.
Absolutely. But, yeah, this whole new album has been great. I did want to, I was saying that I want to play a song off the album that actually was inspired by Laguna here. If you do, you, are you able to cue it up? On
I am so queued up with
so
you.
So queued up.
Alice, I am queued up. And I have a million questions about The Road because I know you have some stories about The Road. But I love Top of the World, and I could tell it represents, you were up there. Did you do yoga up there one time?
Well, I tend to, like, when we're on the road or I'm on a hike or something, I like to do like a yoga pose for social media just because I do love doing yoga, and it's just fun to do it in random places. So I did like post a picture up there before, but yeah, the Top of the World trail here in Laguna has always been one of my favorites. Actually, I think we might go hike it after this radio session, because since we're down here and it's a gorgeous day.
Gorgeous day for it. It'll be perfect up there.
Yeah. So I was hiking along there one day and I started writing this song in my head. And it's a song that, you know, when you're up there on the top of the world, you know, you're along that kind of the ridge line. So it's like you start at the top rather than starting at the bottom, which is interesting. And so, like, I just remember just, like, kind of watching these birds, like, swoop up from the bottom of the canyon and kind of fly alongside you and realizing that you kind of feel like you're on the same level as the birds and, like, you almost maybe don't belong there in some weird way, like you're kind of encroaching on their territory.
On wilderness, yeah.
I know. And I was having some problems with musically, with kind of getting, you know, some people who were kind of making promises that I didn't think they were really going to, you know, like there's, you encounter a lot of people along the way and you're never sure how much trust to put in people. And I'd kind of had my trust violated and I was just kind of thinking, you know, I feel like sometimes music is trying to make me feel like I don't belong here, but you know what? I do. So that's what this
you
song.
You surely do. Well, that's great. All right. So Top of the World. Ladies and gentlemen, buckaroos and buckaritos, this is Alice Wallace. This is from her new album, Into the Blue, right here on KX93.5 with Radio Neighborin.
Thin, my lungs start to burn, but up here it's so clear, I can see the earth curve, and I don't even mind, I can't breathe, I can see. I'm happy on the ground.
And that was Alice Wallace right here on KX93.5.
Speaking of promoting California country and all that, there really is a neat little community in Southern California of Americana and country artists. I've started to connect with some of them. Did you happen to go to Ted Russell Camp's CD opening party last night?
I did.
You did?
I did. It was a great show.
Yeah. And Emily Zuzik played there.
She sang along with them.
Yeah, sat in with him. And there was somebody else I saw singing online during his set that I didn't recognize. But
yeah, Jen Gibbons.
Jen Gibbons.
Funky Jen. Yeah, she's a great blues singer in L.A. too. She did some harmonies too. And then the Hawthorns with K.P. Hawthorne and Johnny Hawthorne opened the show.
They opened the show.
It was a nice show last night.
Yeah, I saw the Hawthorns at the Portfolio Coffee House with Michael Ubaldini has that outlaw folk thing that he does.
Yeah.
So it has. It's nice to be able to be part of a community. Y'all support each other so well.
There's some really great people out here. I mean, just finding the Rebel Road people and KP and them, and then there is a broader community here of very supportive artists. So it is nice to feel that out here.
And what do you think as far as OC versus LA? Is it there's just a whole lot more opportunity up in LA County? Or
there is, I do feel like there's a little more going on in LA, especially when it comes to like Americana, than there is in Orange County. But there's still some great folks down here doing it too. And my friends like Robert John and the Wreck, they're fantastic. And then we got like Echo Sparks and people like that, the Fallen Stars, and some real cool folks down here too, and Michael Ubaldini, and just like a lot of people. So it's a nice community to be a part of and to come home to after being on the road for a long time.
Yeah, Bobo's going to be on my show tomorrow afternoon, actually.
I'm making notes, and I am after the show, because you're mentioning people that I have no idea.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so thank you so much. And speaking of being on the road, because I'm a Texan and I have been to South by Southwest, I've traveled to Austin since I was a kid dancing in roadhouses with my family. What did you think of that community there, and especially South by Southwest? What was your experience like traveling through Texas?
Yeah, I mean, I do go to Texas a couple times a year. It's one of my favorite places to tour through. I mean, it's really one of the only places where you just on any night of the week you can get a great show playing for people who will all just get up and dance, and they will, just Texans appreciate music in a special way. And I do love the dancing culture there. That is just so much fun. Actually, we took a two-step lesson while we were in Austin, which was fun. And but yeah, I love Austin and South by. I've really, to be honest, I've never really taken part as much in the actual festival that goes on, down Sixth Street, like the big stuff. It's like when I go to town, I tend to
it's just really the whole city becomes a festival, whether it's officially part of the festival or not. You know, just every shop, every restaurant has music going like 24 hours a day, like during South by Southwest, because just everybody's in town and they're looking for good music and they're looking to make connections and discover people. And so, you know, I think when I played like 10 shows over the course of 4 days when I was in at South by, and it was just a really great time, and just people come from all over the country, so it's a nice thing, even though it is a little overwhelming because everybody's
it
there.
It is. It used to be that it was on 6th Street, but it was also in people's backyards, mm-hmm. in their garages. Some of the best music I've ever seen was there.
Right.
And on somebody's front porch. Yeah. And folks are just gathering and sitting there and smuggling their beers in and coolers. And it's an amazing scene. And every time I've seen you there, I've been so happy for you and jealous of your hats.
I know. They've got some good hats. I know the Gorin Brothers Hat Shop on South Congress always does shows every year. And I play there and they give me a hat. And I have a new hat for the year, and it's a really good one this year. So yeah, if you look on my Instagram, you can see photos of the new hat.
What about boots? Have you bought any boots around Texas?
I haven't. We actually spent some time in Allen's Boots on South Congress this last time too, but I didn't end up picking up any. But yeah, I mean there's lots of great stuff there.
Oh yeah, I mean with your hat, who needs the boots?
Right. I know, that's all you need.
Well, do you have a song you'd like to play live that maybe? It's from some of the travels, or could you tell a story a little bit about, for instance, Desert Rose? It's an amazing song and story.
Yeah, you know, and it's been interesting since I've started traveling full time. I feel like my songwriting has changed a bit because I hear all these stories along the way, and I've started writing more about these stories and about kind of my experiences and these things that I'm learning from people, rather a little more than my own just personal experience. And the song Desert Rose came from a night in El Paso, Texas. We tend to go through El Paso a couple times a year and have some friends there. And this gentleman he's a local bass player, so we met him in the music scene, but he's also a firefighter and an EMT. And obviously in El Paso, they're in a unique place that is right on the border with Mexico. I mean, Juarez is basically, it's almost like they're one big city just divided by a river, but also look very different. You know, El Paso looks like a city. Juarez looks more just like these just kind of ramshackle, just wooden buildings. And, you know, someone even pointed out to me that when you're driving there at night, they don't have the same like wattage of power over there. So everything's even just dimmer. And then like El Paso is bright like a city, and just Juarez has this kind of low yellow glow about it. And so he told me this story about a call they had gotten that week to help a woman who had come across the border in the night, and she'd had her baby on the floor of a gas station bathroom.
My gosh.
And, you know, it was their job to go help her and clean up. And it just, you know, to him, it was kind of an everyday occurrence. Like, it wasn't that unusual. And it just struck me so hard. And I just couldn't help but think about, you know, what was this woman's story that led her to that moment? And, you know, obviously I'd have no idea, but I just, I sat down with my guitar and I decided to try to give her a story. So
I'm so glad you did. And in this day and time, this story needs to be told.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad you wrote the song. And it seems like a lot of the songs are about what's going on in our country.
Yeah.
That has
Even
affected
though I,
you.
I wrote this song, geez, 2 years ago. Like, you know, it was before we were even really talking about this current
wall.
Stuff with the wall and you know, the
really?
And the illegal immigrant. Like, it was just a story that I felt like needed to be told a couple of years ago, and it just took a while to get it on the album. But, it definitely is even more timely now than when I wrote it. So.
It is, and it's a story of a struggle of mm-hmm. a young woman. So this is Alice Wallace live on the air on KX93.5 with Ida May and John Ford. Take it away, Alice.
Okay. She was born at the wrong time, on the wrong side of the line, but she never let it do her any harm. Tough but sweet, quick on her feet, charm, with looks that might kill, and even more charming still, the young man won her over at first sight. They danced so very close, he called her Desert Rose, and held her ever closer through. He said, espera mi amor, it won't be long before everything you dream is at your feet. You'll never find a love like mine. You'll always be safe with me. As her belly grew more round, the handsome man left town. She was left alone to sit and wait. She carved a wooden rose for the baby's name she chose, and swore her child would never share. Wrapped in her mother's shawl, she headed for the lights across the line. El Paso wasn't far, but she stumbled in the dark as the pain inside her body made her blind. She said, she said, espera mi amor, it won't be long before everything you dream is at your feet. You'll never find a love like mine. You'll always be
gosh. Oh my gosh. I don't even know what to say. I'm tearing up right now. Alice, that's beautiful.
Thank you very much.
And what a storyteller you are.
Thank you. Thank you.
I mean, truly. Another song that I loved was Santa Ana Winds.
Yeah.
Now, that must have happened this last year with the fires, or can you tell us a little bit about how that came about, that song?
Yeah, I wrote that song last winter with my friend Andrew Delaney, who we've co-written several of the songs on the album. And we were sitting there talking, and it was when I was watching the Thomas Fire in like Ventura and Santa Barbara counties that just came through, and then it caused all the mudslides, and it was just horrific to watch this happening. And Andrew and I were chatting and just about this just indiscriminate nature of these fires. And so we started writing this song, and you know, and we based it around the Santa Ana winds, because I just feel like when those winds come through, that's when everyone gets nervous. You just never know. Just like the slightest little spark during those winds is, you know, and we might have this huge wildfire on our hands. And So we wrote this song, you know, what, a year and a half ago. And then, of course, this past year, the fires were even worse than when we wrote about them before. And, you know, this is just, again, another thing that continues to be very timely and relevant. And so, yeah, I wrote this really as a song for all the people in California who have been going through so much because of these wildfires the last few years. And yeah, actually, it would be, I would love to play the album version of this song if you want to. I really love what we ended up doing with this song. And we filmed a music video for it and released it a couple months ago, if anybody wants to find it on YouTube. And we actually went back to one of the studios where we recorded the album, this beautiful studio in Malibu. But when the fires came through Malibu this winter, I guess it was kind of like fire tornadoes from what I hear, that it was just kind of bouncing around. And so on the grounds of this studio, like the house that these people lived in was completely destroyed, and the studio somehow stayed intact. It was like the only building on the property that was not touched by the fires. It was very strange. Somehow the studio was spared. But for months now they've been rebuilding, and we went back, and I think it was in December, and just filmed this video out in all of just charred destruction through Malibu. And it was really powerful to kind of to walk through that and see what had been done.
Oh, so fires. Many people lost their homes, and it was horrifying to watch. I'm sure any of those fires were horrifying to watch on CNN or on our social media. I mean, it must have been for you if you weren't here, because it looked like we were going up.
Yeah. I was leaving when the fires really started hitting Malibu. I was leaving the next day, and I remember flying out and just seeing just the smoke just engulfing Los Angeles. And it's pretty awful to kind of be leaving and going, geez, what's going to happen?
How did that studio make it through?
It's really kind of unexplainable. Yeah, like it's somehow the fires bounced around it in this way that the studio was untouched, but the house was just left in rubble. And then they have these stables on the property that got pretty singed, not completely destroyed, but damaged pretty badly. And then, you know, and it's kind of in this area of kind of this canyon, and just all of the surrounding woods and you know, are just blackened.
It really is unpredictable. I mean, I was watching it live on YouTube. The helicopters that were feeding the news, the news channels, put their stuff out live on YouTube, and so I was glued to it. I mean, I didn't go to work that morning because I was like, oh my gosh, because I used to live there, and it passed over the little valley that I lived in, but it in the neighborhood right next to it, it got a couple homes that were homes of friends of mine.
Oh, geez.
So, you know, just it was mesmerizing and just really tragic. That's a great, great song to.
It is. And now, who was your writing partner on this again? I think he's from Dallas, right?
Yeah, he lives in Dallas. His name's Andrew Delaney. So, yeah, one of the best songwriters I've become friends with in the last few years. And so we wrote several songs for this album together, and it was kind of a new thing for me to co-write a bit more. And actually, probably later, I want to play you a song that he wrote that is on the album that I think is just incredible. But some of the songs we wrote are some of my favorites on the album. So,
all right, let's listen to it now. This is Alice Wallace sitting in with us on KX93.5. This is Ida May with John Ford. Santa Ana Winds. Right off her new album, Into the Blue.
Out on the horizon, there's a wicked orange glow. While a neighbor sprays a rooftop with a garden hose. You heard they couldn't save the horses, so they had to let them go.
And that's Alice Wallace. Beautiful, beautiful song.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And I think everybody in California right now that's listening. Oh, by the way, Morgan Burrell of the Dutt Brothers is listening. Said, you just sound fantastic. It's always nice to have somebody really listening on a real radio.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Good to know. Thank you guys for having me here today. It's a lot of fun.
You know, your album came out in January, right? And I was all over it. This album is such a great effort. I didn't find a song on there that I don't play over and over again. It's just my favorite, I think, is the one that you co-wrote with KP, which is the Lonely Talking. That's a great song. My question was going to be, are you going to put it out on vinyl? You think?
Yes, we have plans to put it out on vinyl. It might take a couple more months, but yeah, we have some vinyl plans in the works.
All right.
All right, Alice.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And again, you're appearing tomorrow night.
Yes, at the Coach House.
At the Coach House, opening for
Albert Lee.
Albert Lee, for God's sakes. He was at Woodstock.
Yeah. Was he? I would not doubt it.
I'm almost positive, wasn't he?
Yeah, he probably was, but I don't know who he was playing
with. I'll Google it, but Albert, yeah, is fantastic, yeah. And I do have tickets available. If anybody still wants to come, they can email me at alice@alicewallacemusic.com, and I could get them some tickets at Will Call, but yeah, it's going to be really fun. I'm going to have my whole band there, and we're going to have a great time playing these songs from the new album.
Talk about your band. Talk a little bit about the band, because it's a big band. This is a big sound.
Mm-hmm. Well, on the album, we really went all out. This is the first time where we put strings and we put horns. And, you know, we actually also got in these amazing session players for the album. This guy, Jay Bellerose, and his partner, Jen Condos, who played drums and bass. And they're not playing in the live band, but Jay has played on everything from, like, Robert Plant and Alison Krauss's Raising Sand album to Sarah Watkins' album. He does a lot of, like, T-Bone Burnett stuff, tours with, like, Ray LaMontagne. Actually, when I went and saw Willie Nelson at the OC Fair, and Alison Krauss was opening, and he was playing with Alison Krauss, I was like, oh my gosh, that's the guy who played on my album. He's up there right now. You know, like, I mean, so good. And, you know, so it was a really good time getting to just flesh out these songs in a way that I've never had the opportunity to before. So.
Who comes up with who's going to play on this album? Is it you, or is it your producer, or how does that work?
It's a combination of, you know, of us putting in various suggestions. But yeah, but the producers do have a lot of say, and, you know, and they have a lot of people that they work with. So yeah, it was just kind of a team effort of bringing in a lot of different players. But I was so thrilled with how it all came out. So
now another song I love is Elephants.
Yeah.
I just love the message in that song. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, yeah, and this is the song that I was saying that my friend Andrew Delaney wrote this song. I had nothing to do with this song. This is the first time that I've really put a song that I had no co-writing or anything to do with it, but this was one of the first songs I ever heard Andrew sing when I met him. I actually met him at a songwriting competition outside of Austin, and I heard him sing this song, and I was just floored. I just thought it was one of the best songs I'd ever heard written. Like, it just, he captured things in this song that I've been trying to capture in a song my whole life. And so I immediately became a huge fan of his, and then we started co-writing together. But when I was putting together songs for this album, I just felt like I asked him, like, can I record Elephants? I just love that song. Can I sing it? So he let me, and I try to sing this song as often as possible, because there's a very important conversation going on right now about women and how women are treated, and I feel like this is kind of my contribution to that conversation.
Well, you have some real contributions to quite a few conversations right, that are going on in our life right now. And I love that voice, and I love it's your voice. Yeah. All right, this is Alice Wallace, and the song is, and you're going to do it live, right?
Yeah, let's
play it for you. All right, the song is Elephants. You're listening to KX93.5. This is Ida May, Radio Neighboring with John Ford II. All righty, let's go.
Walk with a purpose through the parking lot. Keys in your knuckles, cause you ain't got claws. Remembering when your daddy taught you that Boys will be boys, gotta watch your back. Sitting there drinking at the bar alone. Sharks come circle, wanna take you home. You better not play coy, better not be me. Boys will be boys and they are fragile things. And they got names for the ones who talk back, the ones who wear those clothes. They got names for the ones who say yes, the ones who say no. Hey, baby, why you gotta be that way? Give us a smile, you got a pretty face. And there are things you do and things you can't. Live quiet as a mouse in a room full of elephants. Oh, don't he look so handsome in his Sunday best? Said he's sorry, you know the rest. You shouldn't really blame him, he's just a kid. And boys will be boys, don't you call him what he is. And they got names for the ones who talk back, the ones who wear those clothes. They got names for the ones who say yes, the ones who say, well, they got names for the ones who talk back, the ones who wear those clothes. They got names for the ones who say yes, the ones who say. Hey, baby, why you gotta be that way?
Oh, my gosh. Incredible. Stunning. And the line, quiet as a mouse in a room full of elephants.
Mm-hmm.
Now, elephants are scared of mice.
Right. There's some, obviously, I didn't write this song, but I feel like, yeah, it's kind of like there's the whole, the elephant in the room. Or do you have to be quiet? Yeah, because you don't want to scare the elephants. You don't, you know, like there's like a whole bunch of different layers that could be in that line that I should probably talk to Andrew more about and see.
Well, but there's plenty of plenty to this song that, you know, boys will be boys and they're tender or whatever he says. I get it coming from a man, but it resonates with me and every woman that's listening today or has ever heard this album. It's incredible, really, Alice.
Yeah, and he really talks about how he wrote this song just by, you know, he'd just been hearing the same thing from the women in his life and about all these experiences and he put it into a song in such a beautiful way. So
he really did. Now, another thing you partnered on with him is Echo Canyon,
mm-hmm.
which is just a gorgeous song, too. Do you want to do that live, or would you rather do that with your...
That one might be better as a recording, because I love what we did with the recording on this one. We really put a whole lot of harmonies and things, and that's really what we were going for when we wrote this song. This was the first song that Andrew and I co-wrote together, and that's really what started us co-writing, is he came up to me, and he's like, you know, I've always wanted to write a yodeling song, but I've never known a yodeler who could sing it. And so we decided to sit down and write a yodeling song, and we kind of wanted to make it in more of the kind of old cowboy tradition, like kind of the sitting around the campfire telling a tale, kind of a yodel, kind of in the same way of like oh my gosh, why am I blanking all of a sudden? Do, 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 do. What is that?
Cattle drive?
Cattle call.
Cattle call.
Cattle call.
There you
I'm
go.
Like, how am I not remembering what that name is?
Eddie Arnold.
I'm like, I can hear it in my head.
I can hear you hearing it.
I know. So in that kind of style of cattle call. So, and we thought, okay, well, you know, what if we were yodeling in a canyon? And so really with the recording, we tried to kind of make it sound like the canyon is just kind of resonating with these echoes. And so, yeah, and so I love singing this song. So, yeah, let's play it from the album.
Okay, let's do it. It's right here. This is Alice Wallace with Echo Canyon. This is KX93.5 with Ida May and John Ford. Alice sitting in. Listen up to this one.
The moon hardly shines down in Echo Canyon. It just hangs around about an hour a night in a sliver of sky between narrow horizons. You don't even notice as it passes me by. The crickets are calling across Echo Canyon. A chilly wind moans to join in the song. I ain't going nowhere, so I'll just sing along. For miles around, I ride a snake on the rim along Echo Canyon. Spooked my sweet mare, and I ended up thrown. Now days turn to night down here at the bottom, where I'm shivering and singing, just trying to keep warm. Lonesome feeling takes hold of my heart, and there is only the sound of some poor lost soul singing, and the coyotes answer somewhere in the dark. Ooh,
I love that percussion you did at the end, Alice, with the yodeling. You're harmonizing with a steel guitar, I think, or some kind of slide guitar. But what is that percussion in the background? It sounds like rain.
Yeah. My drummer has these, like, they're like seed pods that you kind of like roll around and they kind of like hit each other in this cool way. And it worked really well in that song.
Just a beautiful song. It's so fun to have you here. It really is.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
It's been a while. It's been a while for me. I know you've been on John's show, but we both were just doing backflips knowing you were here and that you were going to perform tomorrow night. Yeah. And Albert Lee was with 10 Years After, and they sang I'm Going Home at Woodstock.
Very good.
How about history on that one?
There you go. I know. He's a legend. Yeah, I know. And the sweetest, most like soft-spoken guy. I opened for him a couple years ago there, so I'm really looking forward to doing it again tomorrow.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you. And about your yodeling. Now, let's talk about the yodeling. I got to do a whole show on yodeling thanks to you.
I know. I'm so glad you did. We need to keep this yodeling alive.
We do. And you're I actually copied what you said. It's a yodel revival, yodeling revival. That's what you've done for this country and for my show.
Right.
But where did you ever start with yodeling?
Well, actually, even on the way here, we were listening a little bit. I got it from Jewel in high school, which is funny, you know, because I was a huge Jewel fan during that whole, like, Lilith Fair era. And when I found out that she yodeled, I was just kind of blown away. I didn't realize people were still yodeling. So that's really what got me into it. And I kind of taught myself by learning this song that she did. But then that inspired me to go back and listen to the old yodelers of the, you know, anywhere from the 20s to the 50s, because it kind of died out really after the 50s for the most part. And so I just, you know, it's such a great tradition. And really in folk music throughout the world, there's a lot of different folk music styles have that vocal break that is what a yodel is. And they use it in different ways. But it was kind of, you know, in this country, it was really brought over by like the German and Bavarian region immigrants in like the mid-1800s. And they would form these singing troupes that would travel the country. And then, you know, around the turn of the century, you know, people like Jimmy Rogers heard these singing troupes and heard the yodeling and started incorporating the yodeling into cowboy music. And that's really kind of just sort of evolved into being a country and cowboy related thing for decades.
So. I called all those voices, Jimmy Rogers and Hank Williams, sort of high lonesome. Mm. And you have that ability too, although you can do a lot of other things with your voice too. But the high lonesome always goes so beautifully into a yodel.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely.
And a lot of those Germans ended up, as you know, in the hill country. And mm-hmm. Boy, can those people yodel.
Yeah.
So what do you want to do? Because this is the end of our show. It's 11:55, so you're going to take us out.
Take us out. Well, we got to take us out with some yodeling, I think.
And, I'm so thrilled. Can you believe it, John? Is there any other questions you have of her before we yodel on out of here?
I don't know. Can you sing in overtones?
You know, I've sort of been working on overtone singing, but it's not good yet. It's not something I should do in public.
Okay, we won't make you live on the air then.
Yeah, maybe by the next time. But yeah, and I do want to do a yodel that's by a very famous Texas yodeler that I've started doing this song, and it's so much fun to end my shows with this song. And there was a gentleman by the name of Don Walser who, like in the 80s and 90s, was really kind of revitalized the classic country scene in Austin. And he was a fantastic yodeler. They called him the Pavarotti of the Plains. And so I've started doing this song, which is kind of his signature song. And for a long time, I was very intimidated to try to even learn a Don Walser song because he was one heck of a yodeler. But I think I finally got it. And so I figured I'd sing it for you guys to close out this show.
Right. Well, we are delighted, and I hope I can engineer Alice yodeling. I'll do my best.
I'm sure you got
it. And Alice, I will say right now, this has been such a pleasure to have you live on the air. And if we have 1 minute left at the end, I'm going out with one of your songs too. But I think you're going to take us right to the to the line.
It's a short one, but yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it was a pleasure, truly. All righty, let's go.
This is called The Rolling Stone from Texas.
Well, I'm a rolling stone from Texas, a rolling stone from the plains. I'm a rolling stone from Texas, boys, I long to be back there again. Say, are you from Texas?
smokes.
Oh my gosh, Alice. So fantastic. Wow. I can't even believe I was hearing that live. How do you do that?